True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
All right, Gator, Lions, Green Bay, Thanksgiving Day. We asked people on Twitter, what or who you got? Just straight up, who's going to win this game, Green Bay or Detroit? We have dealt with a bit of a damaged fan base with a moral loss last Sunday. A win on the field, but what felt like a moral loss, and have taken calls from people. What percentage of Lions fans do you think win the game tomorrow?
I think I'm going to say the Lions fans are chesty. 72%.
72%. Kang, do you think it's higher or lower? What percentage of Lions fans on our Twitter poll do you think beat Green Bay tomorrow? Gator says 72%. Oof. You say?
Oof. I think it's right there, Gator. I like that number. I am going to go with 73, so I would say higher.
Jerk.
The answer is 73.1%.
I got both showcases?
No, you didn't. All you did was beat me.
I get the boat and the vacation.
No, you did not. All you did was beat me so that you can have the right to putt to see if you can win a car.
No,
that's all you got.
That was a showdown.
That was a showdown. You get both showcases. Bravo to both of you.
You both did
a hell of a job. 73.1% say the Lions still beat Green Bay. 26.9% say they don't. I think they do beat Green Bay. And much of it has to do with Green Bay in that offensively, Jordan Love gets a lot of props for his efficiency, and I understand it, but he has not thrown for over 200 yards in three straight games. Now, maybe the Lions defense is exactly what he needs. If the Lions defense is going to play like it did on Sunday, he's going to have a field day. Now, there's a difference between being a bad defense and having a bad performance. I don't think the Lions defense is great, but that struck me that performance against the Giants on Sunday, I put in the category of just a bad performance. I don't think by definition the Lions are a bad defense. You could have fooled a lot of people by saying, just watch this game and only this game and tell me what you think of this defense. You'd think it was a bad defense. There's a lot of evidence that they're not that bad. So what do you make of the Lions defense? What do you expect from them tomorrow, more importantly?
I expect a much better defensive effort. I think this could mirror a lot in terms of the comeback. I don't know if it's going to be the same result. But from week one to week two. Week one, the offense looked terrible. Mm-hmm. The offensive line looked terrible. It was like a sieve. Here comes the rush to Goff under constant duress. He was sacked four times. But under constant duress, had to keep dumping the ball off. And afterwards, they said, well, we just had a bunch of missed assignments. We got to get back. We got to clean up a lot of stuff. And then next week, they cleaned up a lot of stuff, had over 500 yards in offense and 52 points. I think in a lot of ways, the defensive effort against the Giants is going to mirror that same thing. They give them over 500 yards in offense to the Giants. I mean, we saw what happened. There were some weird arm punt throws from Jameis Winston that happened to land in the arms
100%. Those were classic arm punts.
Yeah. They threw a couple of crazy trick plays that worked. Good for them for having it work. But we also saw receivers that were like wide open, running backs that were open in the flat and nobody within 10 yards. I think that happens in large part because there are missed assignments. Missed assignments can be corrected. Like week one to week two at the offensive line, I think from week 12 to week 13, I think the defense will correct those mistakes and they'll look a lot better defensively. The question is, will it be enough to have a winning effort against the Packers? That's the big question. And I think they will win this game. I think it's going to be a tight game, probably in the 20s for both teams. Maybe it's a 24-17, something like that, or 24-20, something like that. But, you know, the Lions know that they have to win this game. They feel pretty good about it. Green Bay may have played their best game of the season against the Lions, and they've been, you know, this average after that point. Mm-hmm. Lions played their worst game of the season, one of the worst, maybe the second worst game of the season in that game, but they learned so quickly from it. I just think that this is, you know, they're a team that they're getting healthier defensively. We might find out today that they'll get a couple guys back from that have been on injury reserve that are going to be add to the depth of this team. I think it's pretty safe to say Kirby Joseph's not going to play, but, you know, they could get a lift if Terry Arnold comes back. Marcus Davenport comes back. It's going to help. I know people poo-poo Marcus Davenport because he's always hurt.
I know.
Well, but if he plays, it means he's not hurt. So you get the healthy Marcus Davenport, which will be good for tomorrow's game, and you'll take it. The other side of that, Green Bay with their injuries, they had three players that did not practice yesterday. Carl Brooks on the defensive line, Lucas Van Ness, another defensive lineman, and Savion Williams, the wide receiver. Everybody else was either a limited participant or full participant, and that includes Josh Jacobs.
This time of year, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, so Josh Jacobs, Matthew Golden, Romeo Doubs, these are guys who are kind of questionable. Well, Doubs has now been a full participant in both practices. He's fine. Golden's been limited both practices, and so is Josh Jacobs, but they are practicing. And Jaden Reed might come back as well to help out the offensive the core with the wide receiver core there.
So, look, first of all, there's no question that getting Marcus Davenport back doesn't hurt, okay? And it's going to probably help Detroit more than people realize. One of the weird things that happened is that Josh Pascoe went from a full participant on Monday to did not practice on Tuesday. Now, is that a maintenance thing? I don't know. You mentioned that the Giants threw the kitchen sink at Detroit, and they did. There was a great story that came out of that. Kang, you were telling me you saw or you read the Derek Barnes quotes?
No, I saw it. Yeah, he had the post-media scrum with the reporters after, and one of the reporters asked him, hey, what happened on that Jameis Winston touchdown reception, right? And Derek Barnes was basically said, I'm glad you asked.
For people who missed it, Jameis Winston, it was a double pass. It was a reverse, and Jameis Winston then rolled out and took off down the field, caught a pass, shed a tackle from Derek Barnes and scored a touchdown. And Barnes was very enthusiastically wanted to address it.
Yeah, because it looked from us watching, whether you're at the game or at home, it was a clowning moment. It was embarrassing that the play happened to this receiver who's never thrown a pass before, this little receiver, to a quarterback who's never caught a pass before, and then he stiff arms our linebacker and scores. Derek Barnes gave his side of the story and wanted to, and he said, listen, his assignment on that play was to rush the quarterback, all right, or rush the play. But once he saw Jameis leak out, something told him, this is his words, you know, paraphrasing here, to like this was fishy. So he went after Jameis Winston. By then, obviously, he's already behind him. He lost track of the ball. Jameis catches the ball. And now for the more embarrassing part to some fans was getting stiff-armed by a quarterback right. And not maybe being able to make the tackle. And he explains at that point, yeah, he's just trying to get him down. Jameis is more athletic and big than people realize. He is a big quarterback. He's like 6'5", right? He was able to break free, and then on the ground, he tried to, in his words, was alligator roll him. You know, whatever, you're grabbing anything at that point, get him to the ground. Wasn't able to do that, and it is what it is at that point. But that was one of the plays, and I think I texted you at that moment. I'm like, this is embarrassing. I cannot believe that play just happened, and those things can happen. And he just wants to say, he wasn't even supposed to be there. It's like, it's my day off. Why am I, what am I doing there? And now I'm getting embarrassed?
Yeah.
Clerks.
Exactly. I even know that movie reference.
That's why I did
Dante,
it.
Right?
There you go.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
A lot happened that day.
A lot. It was one day.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a heck of a play, and it was still an embarrassing moment. But he went above and beyond just to be there in the first place. Mm-hmm. Was his point?
Yeah.
So, look, the other question when Green Bay has the football is Josh Jacobs going to play? And you mentioned his status. It feels like they sat him out against Minnesota so they could play him against Detroit. Feels like that. One factor that I wonder about is Green Bay was efficient and dominated the Minnesota game. Their defense played 44 snaps on Sunday.
That's not much.
No. I have to look up what the Lions did, but I suspect that the Lions defense played a hell of a lot more snaps than that in a game that went to overtime, in a game in which the Giants actually dominated time of possession. You know, on a short turnaround week, you know, you are talking about having to recover as much as anything.
Yeah, they threw the ball 37 times and they had 39 rushing plays as well. So you're talking about 76 plays.
Okay. So the Lions defense played almost twice as many plays as Green Bay's defense on a quick turnaround week. I think that that favors Green Bay's defense. Now, your offense has played a lot too, but I would think that you'd prefer to be the team that had 44 defensive snaps as opposed to one that had 76, right?
Yes.
I'm not reshaping football analysis here. It's just an important point to point out.
I think the one stat that's it's really polarizing with these two teams is third down efficiency. Mm-hmm. Lions are 25th in the NFL in third down efficiency as an offense. As an offense, the Packers are number one in the league in third down efficiency. Nearly half of their third downs, they convert for first downs. That's stunning.
We have ample evidence, a lot more evidence that the Lions are bad on third down than they are good on third down. I don't believe that they've necessarily like turned a corner just because they were better in the last game. You know, like I say, the Lions were 5 of 12, which wasn't elite, but it was.
I think the crazy thing with that, with the Packers, though, with the third down thing.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you expect that to be an offensive juggernaut of a team?
You would. There's a lot of not. Things. Like Jordan Love. Jordan Love, and again, I think things get overinflated or people, you know, have a belief about somebody and then. I want to look this up. He hasn't thrown a ton of picks this year.
No, I think it's like 3 or 4.
Yeah, he's thrown 3 interceptions, but it feels like there's this reputation that he throws a lot of interceptions. But anyway.
Well, he hasn't thrown for 200 yards in 3 straight games.
Well, that is something. And 3 straight games is you start to wonder what's going on there. But
and the Packers averaged 24 points a game despite converting 50% of their third down.
Seems weird. We'll get to your phone calls and feedback next. Why or why not did the Lions win this football game? Thanksgiving, Lions and Packers, want your 2 cents here on Carson Anderson on 90. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Michigan, Ohio State talk to open the show. We've shifted to some Lions, but we'll take any of your open line calls. We also talked a little bit about the Spartans and their situation with an embattled coach going into the season finale at Ford Field against the Maryland Terrapins. Malik Washington, that trio of dangerous receivers and the Terrapins. Let's go to Robert. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Robert?
Good afternoon, guys. Love the show. Just wanted to say, I think last weekend was a classic sort of trap game for the Lions, coming off an emotional big-time game against Philly, looking ahead to the Thanksgiving game. Because the defense, I don't remember seeing a game this year where the defense just looked out of sync, blown assignments, and that kind of thing. And I also think on the offense, they were out of sync as well. They just didn't look mentally into it as much as they should have, taken for granted that the Giants aren't a very good team. But
I don't love it, Robert, to be honest with you, but I don't know that you're wrong. Possible. What'd you say? You're always right. Robert, you should call more often. We can use somebody that's always right. You know, you might be, and I think we'll find out a little bit. Like all the buildup for the Philly game and then the massive letdown, and then you got a 2-win team coming up. There's no way you can have the same intensity. They talk about, I asked Jared about it. Hey, this is a big game. I know you want to say they're all big. And he's like, yeah, they are all big. He didn't shy away from that because you try very hard to be a consistent performer. But if they come out and roll Green Bay tomorrow, I think that we could say the Giants game was close because it was the one that was sandwiched in between two massive games.
Yeah, and I also think it was either Monday or Tuesday's Dan Campbell press conference, but he sort of, and I forget the exact word to use, but he kind of talked about, he mentioned energy, and he mentioned, I think, attention to detail. And those are kind of code words for that kind of lack of focus, lack of urgency, which is surprising under a Campbell, you know, era. But I do think they kind of just thought, hey, we're at home. Giants aren't very good. If we play a B game, we'll, you know, get a win. But
it's really difficult, and the best teams, I think even the best teams struggle with it. But look, it might be something more, you know, far more concerning than that. Our best case scenario, Robert, is what you brought up. Best case scenario is a classic letdown, classic trap game, that they managed to survive and win.
Right.
Yeah, they did lose the Philly game and didn't look great doing it. Now, home field, massive, massive game. You know, this is, it'd be a really good time to look like your old selves. A really good time. And it's amazing what a difference a week can make. We do this all season long. It's a roller coaster. It's an absolute roller coaster. Try and be steady, but it's not easy. 248-539-9797. Tom, you're next. Hi, Tom.
Hi, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good, thank you.
Glad to be here. Yep. Big thing, or quick thing, on the Lions game coming up on Thanksgiving. Few things. I like to compare it to the Michigan-Ohio State game coming up. It's a huge rivalry, and even though Michigan is a considerable underdog, I believe, I think they're going to step up their game a little bit more, which I think the Lions are going to do the same thing. The mental part of the game is incredible influencer in how games come out. And I think these guys can pump themselves up. They owe each other because of the loss on game one of the season opener. They owe it because they really need this win to keep going in the season, don't you think?
Well, this is a huge win to get back on track as far as looking like a real contender in the NFC. You know, last week when they were 6-4, we talked about what they needed to do down the stretch in the final seven games. And the consensus was kind of 5-2, getting to 11 wins should get them into the postseason. And if they go in, even if they have to play a first-round game, and even if they have to play on the road, that as long as they're healthy, we'll take our chances. But at the end of the, you know, at the end of the day, Tom, to get to 5-2 the rest of the way, you got to lose some games. And this is one of the more losable games on the schedule. I think they're going to win it. Let me be clear. But it's definitely one of the more losable games on the schedule.
I actually picked them to go 6-1 on the remaining seven.
So what's the one in your mind? Do you remember?
L.A.,
yeah.
L.A.
Yep.
I just don't see us winning that game.
I got to tell you, I think
they come out with the offense that we're familiar with and they've been beating some butts with, then, yeah, they got a good shot against L.A., but I just don't see it happening right now.
L.A. as a football team is tough to play. As far as road trips to make, might be the easiest in the NFL for this team. We know this fan base travels.
Yeah, in terms of a fan base, every opposing fan base has a presence in LA.
Indoors, I mean, you know, if you look at bad possible playoff matchups, where would you rather play, at Philly or at LA?
I'd rather play at LA. Yeah. Does that make the Rams even tougher?
You mean in terms of
recognizing how good they actually are?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I mean, because home games aren't necessarily home games for them. And they're certainly not traditional home games.
Feedback coming in, 248-539-9797. We take your text. Regarding Michigan, Ohio State, everything seems to be breaking Michigan's way between the OSU wide receiver injuries and the weather. That alone should make this a toss-up. That's from Rob. Here's an interesting one. In the modern landscape of college football rivalries like this one are pretty much dead. The heat between the players is gone because they're all selfishly playing for a paycheck. They're not hateful of the other team like they used to be. They're playing for the name on the back of the jersey, not the name on the front. I can't speak for how they feel down at Ohio State 100% as an observer of the program. I don't think last year's team didn't hate Michigan. I think they hated Michigan. A. B, I can sort of speak to Michigan. I would never say that there's any indication that one person in that building is approaching this any less intensely than they have in the past.
I think it might be safe to say last year Ohio State was an overconfident bully in the situation. And Michigan had all types of confidence. They just didn't exude it in the press conferences or anything like that. But they came out and they clocked them right in the face and kept doing it.
Regarding the Lions from Twitter, Amato writes in, Green Bay wins by 7. This offensive line has been bad the last 2 weeks, and Green Bay has some dude named Parsons on the other side of the ball. I think Love will make enough bad decisions to keep us in it, but unless the line really pulls together, Goff and the Lions are going to have a long day. So the Micah Parsons effect. Do you know how many snaps Micah Parsons played in the first game against the Lions?
It wasn't many. It was like 12 or something.
He played 30 of 67. He played He played less than 50%. Last week against Minnesota, he played all but 4 snaps. Micah Parsons, we got Micah Parsons light in week one. Now, I think in week one, a big part of what happened at the line of scrimmage was because the Lions' offensive line was a mess. I think first start for some guys, noise, terrible communication. They did some things up front that you knew weren't, they didn't get physically beaten. They had offensive linemen running 2 different plays. Like there was, it was just a disaster in week one. They're getting, Micah will be facing a better offensive line performance tomorrow, but yeah, Micah could be a problem because he showed up against the Lions and he just got there 30 minutes earlier. So, not literally, but yeah, Micah could be a, you know, this we're not reshaping football analysis. Micah Parsons is a problem.
No, he's a guy you game plan against, and there's reason for it. He is it's not unstoppable, but he doesn't stop necessarily. You know, I mean, the effort's always there. It's going to be up to Penei Sewell and Taylor Decker to make sure that Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons stay off of Jared Goff. It'd be nice if he can stay off of Goff. But Parsons has 10 sacks on the season. He's been active the last couple weeks. He had a sack and a half against the Giants. He had 2 sacks last week against Minnesota. He's very active, and this is the game that and this is the reason why the Packers went out and got him, to beat the Lions so they can win the division and do something in the playoffs.
Okay, we'll get back to analyzing the game a little bit later on. There was some Lions news yesterday that I think fans will find very interesting and just wonder how it makes you feel. We will get to that today at 11:31 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Black Friday, more like Black Friday, yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
It's the Carson Anderson radio program, 248-539-9797. We got a Thanksgiving Day edition of Are You Gonna Eat That coming up in the noon hour here on 97.1. Always a popular thing. Scott, there was an announcement yesterday that Lions season ticket prices are expected to remain the same price. So apparently the ticket prices will not be raised next year, according to multiple media reports. You know, it's when ticket prices go up, people get pissed. Ticket prices never go down, almost ever. When they stay the same, I'm not sure it's news. It feels like it's news, but it's not bad news. But I don't know. If you're a Lions season ticket holder, I don't know. Do you celebrate this? Hey, ticket prices aren't going up. Or is the only thing you'd celebrate is if ticket prices go down?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think you're happy that they didn't go up, because didn't they go up this year?
Yes.
So that's the thing. If they go up 1 year and they remain flat, I think you're like, all right, thank you. But you know what's going to happen. The prices only go up. They don't go down. They'll only go up at some point.
The only organization I ever remember significantly lowering ticket prices was like 90s Pistons. The Billy Owens Pistons.
Oh, boy.
I feel like they lowered ticket prices, and that suddenly became an incredibly young crowd.
Yeah, and it's 30 years ago.
I know. But that's what I'm saying. They almost never come down. So I don't know that people are going to celebrate, because my guess is most fans, great, my super expensive tickets are still going to be merely super expensive next year. Nobody's making anybody buy them. Got it. But, you know, I think this isn't terrible news. Because when ticket prices go up, people obviously are pissed.
Yeah.
So you were a long time, your family was a long time season ticket holder.
I wouldn't say long time. We had them for a handful of years.
Okay.
In the early 80s. Yeah.
And what made you guys get out?
My dad had gotten the tickets for his business. He was using that to take clients out to, it was like a business perk type thing. He had his own business. So that's why he did that. And I think as we got older, and we're busier, my brother and I with other things and going on, I think you realize, okay, well, we don't need to go to the Lions games anymore. If we want to go, we'll just buy a ticket to certain games.
Yeah.
So it just kind of ran its course after a few years. You know, little did we know that I was going to end up going into this line of work and be going all the time. But, it was a thrill as a kid, you know, when you're in your, just entering, I think I was 10 years old and we had the first year we had tickets. So like from 10 to 15, we've got season tickets. That's perfect time. I mean, I absolutely became a Lions fan during that time. And the Billy Sims era was awesome to watch. And we had two different, the first couple of years we had season tickets that were kind of on the goal line ish, but they were in the lower level. They were pretty good seats for there. But we wanted to be closer to midfield. So then the last couple of years, we got them, which is the fun part as a kid, when you got to go to the stadium to pick out your season tickets. So they open up to the Silver Dome at the time. And all the available season tickets had like red flags on the seats. So my dad's like, all right, go take a look and see what you like, you know. And we all start running around, whatever. And we ended up settling on seats were at like the 40-yard line, mm-hmm. but the second row from the top of the Silver Dome. If you remember how steep that was up there, it's a little frightening. But as a little kid, you're like, yeah, I'm climbing, woo! And then you get there on game day, and there's 80,000 people in the Silver Dome, and you got to climb. I'm like,
Yeah.
But picking those seats out was a lot of fun. It was a great memory.
Kang, what do you make of this news?
So, obviously, it's always good that they don't go up. These are like first world good sports team problems, right?
Yep.
We have a really good football team. Prices are expensive. My only concern is because eventually they will go up again at some point. is the young fan and the family. Like, you were just describing how you were 10 years old, and that was awesome. I only go to about one or two Lions games a year. I haven't been to one this year. Last year I went, and I felt like I didn't see a ton of kids, you know? And I don't know how that works for a team trying to develop that young fan base to continue growing and being a fan their whole lives, because as a family, how many tickets can you afford?
Sure.
You know, like, it's different between if us three are like, hey, we're buddies, let's all get, you know, a ticket and, you know, a section of three or whatever, row three, we can all pay for ourselves. But when you want to start bringing one of your kids, two of your kids, whatever, I mean, that adds up, man. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that have to figure out who can go, who can't go.
You know, it's funny because I think every year we collectively as a family, all right, what are we going to do for Thanksgiving? And every year a Lions game gets proposed. And every year it's, and then look, we're trying to get tickets on the secondary market. So, but every year we go, that's a lot of money. And just decide not to. Think about all the things we can do with the money instead of going to the Lions game and just sit at home and watch it, which we're almost always happy. We have done the Thanksgiving Day thing game in the past. Had a great time. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
But it is an expensive day.
It becomes a really expensive day. I was actually thinking about this the other day, how things were way different back then, because, okay, tickets were, you know, for the time in like 1983, if you're paying $20 for a ticket, that's like, oh, I had to shell out $100 for tickets. I'm like, that's for four tickets. You're shelling out $250 for a single ticket here in Detroit in some cases.
Did your math there?
Yeah, well, I know it was 80 for four, but I'm saying at the time it would be like $20 a ticket after fees and everything else. You're
okay,
probably looking at $100 to take the family out to the game.
Gotcha. So, yeah, just wanted to make sure.
My math worked.
Yeah. Okay, good.
But it's amazing that, you know, for a family of four back in 1983, that's the cost of a single ticket, if you're lucky, on the secondary market when the team is good. And the team had some good years back then, too.
The amazing thing is we went through years and years and years of disappointments, and people still went. It is such a, this is such a football town. And I know that became a point of contention that, you know, those people stop going, things are never going to get better. And I'm like, yeah, except the league makes so much money on everything else that ticket sales are just a percentage of their income. They'll probably be fine without. Of course they want to sell out, but now I always feel bad for the loyal fan that was there forever and had this commodity. You owned this commodity of a Lion ticket. And part of the reason you owned it is because you could afford it. Obviously, you could afford it. And then the team gets good and the commodity price goes up. And now you've put in all these lean years. If you get priced out, it sucks. I'm sure that there's not, like, what we're talking about, again, and the breaking news is that over the last 24 hours, it's announced that Lions ticket prices for next year are going to stay flat. But there's probably a portion of our audience that we're talking about that went through a lot of crappy years and now can't afford to go.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
It's almost like it's too bad there's not some sort of grandfathered in. If you've been doing it for 10 years at this price, your ticket price won't go up as much.
It's just like anything else.
But that's like an altruistic world.
Yeah, it's inflation. Everything's more. You know, your house costs more. Your car costs more. The tickets for games cost more.
It feels like sports teams should be a little bit different than every other business. And I'll get to that in a second why. But when I ask every person about whatever they do for a living, and you ask them, would you, if you could make more money and charge more for your services and make more money, would you? And everyone says yes. And that's kind of what's happening here with sports, right? Is
100%.
It's a business that can charge more and still sell out. And it's just like whatever you do for a living. The one difference is in sports, it feels like there should be some sort of concession made to fans, because the fans are emotional owners of the team. Emotional ownership is not a real thing, but it's true. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we don't emotionally own. We have no rights as an owner, but without the fans, there's nothing, and maybe sports teams shouldn't always be operating to squeeze every penny out of their fan base.
Oh, there's also no socialism in sports either.
No, there's not. But squeeze every penny out of the TV networks. Squeeze every penny out of your advertisers. But don't squeeze every penny out of your fans. Now, then teams will see the fans that buy the tickets go, all right, I've saved money on my ticket because it's undervalued. I can turn around and sell this and I can make the money. And the teams are like, well, wait a second. We could make that money. We're giving away money to our fans who are selling our tickets. But hey, at least the prices aren't going up. We'll get back to what's going to happen on the field. Other stuff going on, of course, including a big Piston game tonight at Boston. It's NBA Cup game, Scott.
Now it's a big game.
Yep.
Now it's a big game. Before it was just Boston.
But talk about a big game. Tonight's the Zamboni Gravy Boat game at LCA. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell fuel rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Dave's in Livonia, and he's on 97.1. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good, Dave. How are you?
Good, good. You know, I think that people, as far as you start talking about price of the tickets, you know, they can live with the, you know, the cost of the ticket. Last year for Thanksgiving, it's my wife's birthday, so we got 7 tickets. You know, I went through Ticketmaster. The ticket was $300+ for the ticket, but the part that was the kick in the pants was per ticket I paid $149 for that Ticketmaster fee. Now multiply that times 7 tickets.
Yeah, so here's the deal, Dave. I look at that as just false advertising. If out of pocket you're paying, you said $149 fees, so out of pocket you're paying $449 per ticket. There's no way that ticket price should be listed at $300. That ticket is cost. Yeah. You don't care where the money's going to. When you buy a ticket from an organization, the organization doesn't say, well, 6% of this goes into the owner's pocket and 4% goes to the infrastructure we set up to the ticket sales department and the rest goes to player salary. Like they don't break down what your costs are going to. If a cost is listed at $300, but it's costing me $449, as far as I'm concerned, that ticket's a $449 ticket, and you false advertised.
Yeah,
I can't stand it.
I'd rather them just put the full cost of the ticket, including fees, and just, you know, if you decide you want it, then you want it.
Yep.
But to sneak that in there, nah, I don't know if it's sneaking.
It's not really sneaking, because they do let you know. You know what you're clicking on, but what
But you're just astounded at what you're clicking on.
Yes. That's what it is. When you get there, you're like, wait a sec. This isn't what I was expecting. So
very frustrating.
I get it. Well, hey, and I don't think the Lions, like when you do that, when you buy your tickets from the organization itself, everything's rolled in. It's the secondary market where you see the fees. As far as I know, I've never bought tickets from an organization where I've been like $20 a ticket. Oh, cool. And then I get it and it's $30 a ticket. It was always.
It's such a racket.
It's
so aggravating.
So I know there's some secondary sites that include all that and good for them. I don't know what they are, but every time we bring this up, people will say.
Let's know the formula of how they come up with the fees in the first place. The Ticketmaster fee.
Yeah.
Seems like crazy.
All right. Pistons back in action tonight in Boston. And this is another NBA Cup. And of course, Boston isn't the same without Jason Tatum. And that's going to be a factor for quite some time. Pistons have already defeated the Celtics this year. With Tatum out, does this still feel like a big game? I mean, Boston's a 500 basketball team right now. Is this a big game?
It's always a big game against Boston, Doug.
Yeah.
But you did mention it's a NBA Cup game. That's really what makes it a big game. Is this game three for the NBA Cup for the Pistons?
It is.
Let's go.
It is.
Keep winning. Keep running up the totals. And that's, you know what? That's the other thing. You got to run up the score in the NBA Cup because it matters.
It can.
Oh, it matters. Run it up. Embarrass the Celtics if you can.
I think I'm not sure that this game matters for winning Group B. Because they have to play Orlando in their last game. I'm really breaking this down. And they would beat Orlando, which would, I assume, give them the tiebreaker over Orlando. They're both undefeated.
Nobody wants to back into a situation, Doug. Yeah, Kang, am I right or am I right? You go out there and you win this game and win it by a lot.
Dude, they're trying to pull off this soccer tournament thing I told you about. I feel like that's what they're trying to do here. And goal differential matters, right? Mm-hmm. So it does in this NBA Cup. And who would have thought that the Pistons might actually hoist the cup before the Red Wings more recently, you know? Wow. So I'm hoping they can both do it this year. But right now, the NBA Cup is currently going on, so we got to root for the Pistons.
How do you characterize your feelings towards a Boston game, given how hurt they are?
So I always hate Boston, and I don't care if Jason Tatum's out, because Jaylen Brown's the one who said that, oh, the Pistons are the team that we kind of just, you know, let Peyton Pritchard get his and let the bench guys score theirs. I'll never forget that. I mean, the way he talked about us is that we didn't even belong in the league.
So blanking dismissive.
Yep. Disrespect, my friend.
Total disrespect.
Yeah, you're right about that. Way to hang on to that, Ken. Good job. I'm glad you brought that up again. I mean, they're 15-2. The Pistons are 15-2. Do you remember they lost the opener and we took a call? Guys, I'm really worried about this Piston team. They're just not the same. And I brought up the fact that data shows when teams take a jump as significant as the Pistons do from one year to the next, more often than not, they come back a little bit. And I mean, it's still early. I suppose all of that is possible. But the most amazing thing about the 15-2 is that they've done the 15-2 without all their dogs healthy. Like, they have had as many significant injuries as others. And so we can talk about Indiana and we can talk about Boston and who they're not playing with. We could have included Detroit and who they're not playing with for much of this win streak. It has been remarkable. I mean, you know, this team is acting like the best team in the NBA. And we did this with the Tigers. Nobody thought the Tigers were the best team in the American League going into the season. Then they spent a bunch of the season acting like the best team in the American League. Now the Pistons are doing the same thing. I don't think you'd find very many fans, even here in Detroit, that said the Pistons are absolutely the best team in the East, but they're acting like it.
Well, they're playing like it for sure. And I don't care that other teams are playing without some of their best players they've had. Doesn't matter, because so have the Pistons.
Yep.
They've had to do that for, you know, the better part of the last couple of years with injuries they've dealt with. So it doesn't matter. What matters is how are they playing. They're playing really, really well as a team. Each night, you know that Cade's going to give you a ton. He's going to score his 24, 25 points, whatever it is. He's going to dish out 10 assists. And then it's up to somebody, the cast of characters, to emerge. Who else is going to do it? Jalen Duren has been remarkably consistent, throwing up, you know, 20 and 10 a night. and you're getting contributions from everybody else on that team. And now you've got Jaden Ivey back, which is really exciting because he's a guy that can just knife through a defense and take it to the rack. He's fearless. He's knocking down shots from beyond the arc. He did that all last year, and he started off pretty well this year as well. So I like where this team is at. They've got an identity. They are tough. They don't care about the three as much as the rest of the league does. They want to get their points, and they know the best way to do it. Let's feed it inside and take the high percentage shot.
Yep. Kate Cunningham leads the NBA in fourth quarter scoring. He averages 10.5 points per fourth quarter, which is pretty amazing. And, you know, as much as, you know, your eyeball test tells you he's been a clutch player this year, that stat confirms it. Clutch player. Best scorer in the fourth quarter in the NBA so far this year.
And when you have a guy like that, you can lean on to help fend off teams because everyone makes a run in the NBA, right? Yeah, that's what you do. In the fourth quarter, the other team's going to make a run. Whether you're up by 15, 20, whatever it is, it just happens. You need that clutch bucket. They go to Cade, and it's so good to have that reliable guy that can get to the line or get to the, you know, to the bucket and fend off that one more win. Because now it's gotten to the point where just like they're going to win, but like how, all right? Is it going to be a blowout? That's a, you know, like I said, fend them off at the end, whatever it is. But I expect wins from this team. That's how good they are.
And from a team that we were concerned about, okay, what do they do? There's three-point shooting could be a problem with this team. Okay, they may not launch as many as other teams, but they can knock them down. They've got multiple guys that can knock down the three-point shot. And now that they're healthy, you see Tobias Harris back knocking shots down. Duncan Robinson knocks him down at a very high percentage. Now that you get Jaden Ivey is back, and Cade knocks him down, and you know, Isaiah Stewart knocks down the open three-point shot, too. You leave any of these guys open, they are going to knock it down. It's exciting basketball.
Third from the bottom in terms of three-point field goal attempts, middle of the pack in terms of three-point field goal percentage. So, taking on Boston tonight. Meanwhile, Red Wings at home against Nashville. Did I see that Simon Edvinson's out again?
Yeah, no Edvinson, no JT Compher. They're both dealing with the flu, and Edvinson's missed the last couple of games, so that's unfortunate for him. They did bring up Gustafson to add to the defensive core if need be. So that's tough, though, because, I mean, Simon's your second most reliable defenseman you have behind Mo Sider.
Mm-hmm.
And he was part of that top pair.
As we start to get deeper into this season, how are you feeling about the goaltending?
I'm getting more and more concerned at the plan. I like the idea each of the last couple of years in the offseason going out and getting a veteran netminder that still has something left in the tank and that they can provide some stability back there. And it's been disappointing. I have not seen the results I was expecting to see from either of those guys. Sebastian Kosa is the hot netminder they have in the minors, and he's playing really well. So if this continues to be inconsistent with Talbot and Gibson, then maybe it's time to take a look at Sebastian Kosa and give him more than just a period and a half of hockey like he got last year in an emergency situation, never to be seen again. I'd like to see Seabass get some play.
Yeah, you know,
if it continues like this.
It feels like, I remember we went through this with Jimmy Howard. It's like, when are they going to call up Jimmy Howard? When are they going to call up Jimmy Howard? And eventually, obviously got the call up. Goalies just need that breakthrough moment to get to the league and stay. And it doesn't seem to ever happen as quickly as you want. All right, listen, coming up next hour, we got another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That? This is a gravy forward edition of Are You Gonna Eat That? We have got the Birchie Kid will join us to preview the Lions game. Dan Campbell does not meet with the media today, but Birchie at 1:00. We were going to have him at 11, but we had to move it back to 1:00. So we'll talk with him. Also, we got our picks coming up today at 1:38. Coming off a 5-1 week, Gator. Got back on track. Needed that. But we'll have those coming up today at 1:38. So lock in for that. It is Carson Anderson here on the day before Thanksgiving. Lions talk straight ahead here on 97.1.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.